All right, I believe we're about ready. All right, so are we all the unbalanced folks?
Yes.
We're all leaning this way? Yeah, that's me too. And so thank you so much for being here. Greatly appreciate that. And we're going to come off of the platform. You know, we have worked with young people for a few years. And so my name is Donnie McCullough. This is my wife, Erin. We've been married 25 years, and we've been serving the Lord for about 25 years. And so the Lord's been very good to us. And but we are junior church workers. We are youth workers. We don't like the adults, you know. And so we like to be silly and crazy and casual, and that's who we are, and very comfortable in that way. And you know, brother Brad asked us if we'd be interested in helping out this year, and I said, absolutely. I said, brother, you must be scraping the very bottom of the barrel if you want to ask us to help. I said, absolutely. And so then he came back and he said, we want you to talk about having a balanced life. And I said, I don't know about that. You know, balanced life is a hard thing, isn't it? And it's very difficult to stay balanced. There's so much out there. And but I'm so very thankful for you guys being here. And we all need help in this area. There's so much to do, and there's so many distractions out there in life. But I want to get to know who you are. I'll let you know a little bit about us, but I want to know who you are, and kind of help, I think, in that area. But let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for these folks that have taken time, Lord, from their busy schedule. Lord, they have taken time off work, from their families. Lord, there's so many other places they could be. Lord, I'm so very thankful. Lord, they love their spouses. They love each other. They love their families. Lord, they want to be helped. They want to be encouraged. Lord, we all need help. And I pray that you would help us here. I just pray there'd be something that'd be said that will encourage them and help them and guide them, spur something in their minds and hearts, and put a plan together. I pray you'll help us here. Lord, may you all first in our life. Of all the things that we have going on in our life, may you always be first. Lord, I pray you'll help us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so we've been married 25 years. Matter of fact, well, we celebrated that in June, and so very thankful for that. How many of you have been married for 5 years or less? 5 years or less. All right, how many of you have been married for 5 to 10 years? You've been married this, all right, good. So how many of you have been married for over 25 years? Over 25 years, great. And how many of you have a hard time with the balancing of all the different things we have to do? How many of you really struggle with that? You have a hard time? Good. Do we have any business owners? Any of you guys run your own business? God bless you. Yes. How many of you are pastors, assistant pastors? You work in the ministry full time. God bless you. How many of you work in the ministry, but you don't do it full time, meaning you have another job that pays the bills, but you also work a full-time job in the church, if you know what I mean? Amen. No doubt about it. There's just a lot. There's a lot going on. Well, so we have four kids. We had three kids in 3 years. And somebody, you know, I love it when people would come to you and they would say things like, Brother Donnie, do you know how this happens? And I would say, yeah, absolutely. Okay, it was not on purpose. Any of you guys like that here where you had boom, 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 man? You had them stair steppers. Any of you guys like that? You had them the kids just back to back? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that is tough. You know, we had three boom, 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 just like that. Our third child, she came along and she was so excited about coming to this earth, this world here, and she came a little early. She came 31 weeks. Yeah, so she was a little preemie. We were adding, putting an addition on to our house. I was out there, you know, nailing up sheets of plywood, and my wife came and she said, babe, it's time to go to the hospital. I don't feel very good. And I had my nail apron, you know, we got everything going on, and baby, I'm busy. You know, I got all this stuff going. I'm trying to get this addition done, you know, before the baby comes. And she said, well, I think the baby may be coming. And so we take on off over to the hospital, and boom, she's there. She stayed in the hospital for about a month, and it was a wreck, man. I'm telling you, it was a mess. And then, so anyways, so we had those three, boom, 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 and then we waited a few years. So I am, I'm an assistant pastor, youth pastor, children's pastor, janitor, everything kind of guy. You know how that is. And Ms. Aaron, why don't you introduce yourself, let everybody know what you do.
I teach the sixth grade at a Christian school and some middle school Bible. And up until 3 years ago, I homeschooled the four kids. And then when we moved to Florida, we were able to put them in a Christian school, and I went back to work for the first time since my daughter was born. So I'd been out of the classroom all those years. So definitely had a season where I was out of balance that first year back in the classroom.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you can raise a hand and you can, you know, interact here. I may jump into in, right, out, right, up, right, down, right. How many of you would say, Brother Donnie, this is what I struggle with. There's some of the things that I really have a difficult time with doing all those things. You'd be honest, say, this is some of the things that I struggle with. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Whichever.
Time management.
Time management. Well, what's the problem? You don't know how to manage it. What's taking your time? Okay. All right. So you got family? You have any children? How many children do you have? Two kids. All right. What's their ages?
3 and 1.
3 and 1. And you have a job? And you have a job? You guys are married? All right. All right. Good. That's good. That's a blessing. Absolutely. No doubt about that. That's true. So you have a spouse. You have children. You have a job. You have ministry. You have church. What else do you do? You have hobbies? Yeah. Yeah. What do you like to do?
Hunting, fishing, football.
I love you already. I love you already. I love to hunt, love to fish, love to hike, camp. We got any hunters? We got any fishermen, fisher ladies? Yeah, we love, you guys outdoor folk? Yeah, there's a lot. You know, we love hobbies, don't we? We got any car guys? You know, one of those guys, motorcycle guys, you know, garage. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we love our hobbies, and that is often a huge problem within our homes, is that, man, the hobbies come before the family. That's huge. I looked, and there was a survey done, and 62% of adults say that they are overstressed. 62% of adults say they're overstressed. And the other percentage are lying, okay? It is very stressful. It seems like the more technology we have, the more that we can do, the more we want to do, and we just want to fit it all in. But anyway, I think I should share something from God's Word. What do you think? Yeah, let me do that. Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bible. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, reading in verse number 25. If I can do this without my glasses here. We went out to eat some Italian restaurant, and I had the menu way out. My wife was just laughing at me. Verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? That's the things that we are concerned about, right? What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, the money to do all these things. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather unto barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought of, can add one cubit unto your stature? You see what he says there? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and where shall we be clothed? He said, why are you worried, basically? Why are you worried about all these things? Can I tell you, these are all the things that we worry about. How many of you are getting close to retirement age? You're getting close to retirement age. I am. Yeah, I'm 35. No, I'm 46. I'm 46, and I can tell you, you guys know that are getting up there. Man, it is just going by so fast. And I'm clicking right along. I can't work forever. Can I tell you, I don't want to work forever. I want to retire. And so many people, especially in the ministry, they cannot retire. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want to be ugly, but some folks need to retire that are pastoring these churches, and they're dying. They're dying. But these men cannot pass, they cannot quit. And we worry about these things. But we can and we should prepare, and that's the whole idea. We ought to prepare. Verse number 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But here's the verse. But seek ye, what's the next word? First. Say that again. What's the next word? First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these, what's the next word? Things. Seek ye first the Lord, and then all of these things. How many of you are concerned about the things in life? Yes, that's why you're here. We're all concerned. I'm going to be honest with you, we're all concerned. I'm concerned about my relationship with my wife. That's why I'm here. I'm concerned about the relationship that I have with my children. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about the ministries that we're all involved with. I'm concerned about my bank account and my retirement account and all the... Oh yeah, by the way, I have 3 rental properties. So in all of the other responsibilities that I have with my wife and my children and my work and all the other things, I also have rental properties I have to take care of. And so, boom, 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 and also like to hunt, and always also want to go fish. I don't want to work all my days. And so, boom, 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 man, it just piles on, piles on, piles on. So how do we balance all of these things? And I believe we can. You know, God's will, the Bible says God's will is that we love the Lord with what? All of our heart. And you guys that are married, it's also God's will that you love your spouse with what? All of your heart. And we have children, and we're going to love our children with all of our heart. How can we give 100% to God, 100% to our wife, 100% to our children, 100% to our boss? He's going to require that, plus a little extra. Yeah. So how is it? Can I tell you, God's will never contradict itself. God's will never contradict itself. If God says, hey, I want you to marry this individual, then you can give all to that individual. You give all to the Lord. You give all to your boss. But the question is, how do we balance all of these things? So I want to give you a few things, and none of these things, I'm not going to give you anything new. You've heard it all. But the truth of the matter is we have to put those things into practice. We know we are to save, but we don't. We know we are to, you know, take care of our bodies and exercise and eat right, but we don't. So the question is, we know what we are to do, but will we do those things? So I want to give you a few very, very practical things. I don't know how long we'll be, but it won't be an hour. I definitely don't think so. All right, so write down a few of these things if you'd like. I believe it'd be a help to you. First off, I think we have to evaluate our lives. Evaluate our lives. Evaluate where we are and see, am I out of balance in my life? And most of you are like, yeah, that's why I'm here, Brother Donnie. I'm out of balance. You have to evaluate and see where you are. And if you don't know often, we get going in our life. We start, doing our daily routines. And sometimes we don't realize that we are out of balance. Your spouse, you should have that kind of relationship where your spouse should be able to say, hey, babe, I think we need to take some time. I think you're working too hard or you're focusing too much over here. You should be able to have that relationship with your spouse. How many of you would be okay, men, if you would say and be honest with your spouse and say, I'm giving permission for my wife to say to me when I get out of balance. How many of you men raise your hand and you'd say, I'm giving my wife permission to tell me when I get out of balance. Raise your hand, fellas. Raise them even if you don't mean it. Just raise it. Yes. There you go. You saw that, ladies. And so when they're out with the boys or they're out, you know, in the woods or they're out in the garage and, you know, they're out doing things and they're not spending enough time with you, you have the right. They just admitted and said, hey, you have the right to tell me when I get out of balance. Absolutely. Sarah, you have something?
Another area is your children. Children are brutally honest, and I work with middle schoolers, and they hurt my feelings on a regular basis. Little children. So last Saturday, we were out on bus, and I had my coffee with me, and the bus leader's little girl was there, Ellie, cute as she can be, and I'm like, how are you this morning, Ellie? Are you doing well? And she says, your breath is really stinky. So if you're not sure, you can always ask your children. They will be honest with you. You know, do you feel like you're getting enough time with mom and dad? Do you feel like our schedule is what's making you stressed because we're always running? That doesn't mean that they get to dictate everything that happens or that they're the boss of the schedule. But, you know, if your children feel safe to be honest with you, they will be.
Yes. And our home should be that way. The relationship that we have, family that we have, ought to be where there it's an open door and ought to be honest. Now, how many of you men are a one-track guy? How many of you raise your hand and say, I'm a one-track man? I'm the same way. Man, when I get on a project, I want to stay on that project. I don't like to come off of that thing. And that's a good thing because you get things done, but also it's a bad thing because you can get out of balance really, really quick. Most men are one-track. They have a problem. They want to stay on that problem. And so if we're not careful, we can stay one track. We can do our job and we come home. And guess what? The grass needs to be cut and this needs to be fixed. And we come home. And how many of you come home, you throw your work clothes off, you put your other work clothes on and you get right to the job. And it's been 3-4 hours. You haven't even talked to your wife or kids. How many of you are like that? Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy to do that. But I want to encourage you, wife or husband, either way, whenever that happens, when there's some imbalance, I want to encourage you, just say something. There needs to be some noise whenever something gets out of line. We have an old washing machine. And how many of you know whenever you put your clothes in, and if that thing is not balanced just right, there's going to be some noise. You know? Now, can I be honest with you? Sometimes, if you're lazy, you can just leave that thing, blum, 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 blum. But it's not going to do very well, is it? It's not going to wash your clothes very well. And so what you have to do, you have to stop what is going on. You have to stop the action. You have to go over and you have to lift up the lid. You have to inspect and look down in there and evaluate and say, wow, this is really off balance. And then you have to readjust. And that's what we have to do. Man, we have to readjust. We have to be honest and evaluate what we have going on inside of our home and inside of our hearts. And we have to readjust and say, hey, let's get this thing in line and back balanced. All right, so how many of you know Jeff Foxworthy? All right, good. You know how he does. You might be a redneck if, that kind of thing. All right, so you might be out of balance if. You might be out of balance if you are frequently stressed out during your day. All right, if you are stressed out frequently, I know sometimes it happens, but if you're stressed out frequently in your day, you are out of balance. You need to evaluate. You might be out of balance if you don't want to be present or engaged in your daily activities. What do I mean by that? You don't want to go to work when you need to. You would rather go hunting or go fishing or work out, or you'd rather do something else. You'd rather stay home, or you may be out of balance if you'd rather stay at work than come home. There are a lot of men that would rather stay at home than come, or stay at work than come home. They love to make a deal. They love the adrenaline that they get when they make that sale. You know what they get? They get a lot of that. They get a lot of praise. And I wonder if that's what they're missing at home. They're missing the praise, and they get it at home at work, but they don't get it at home. So you might be out of balance if you don't want to be present or engage in those daily responsibilities. Number three.
You might be out of balance if you forget your spouse's birthday or your anniversary.
She has not, by the way. Or your children's. How many have ever done that? You forgot it was your kiddo's birthday. I have done that. I've done that as well. You might be out of balance. You might be just too busy focusing in on yourself and things you have going on. You might be out of balance if your only vacation doubles as a work trip. You ever been there? Bring them along. Can I tell you, pastors are the world's worst at this. Hey, I have this revival this week. Let's come on over and we'll do a family vacation. That is not a vacation. Pastor, that is not a vacation. You're working. Bring them along. Absolutely. Don't call that vacation. I have a pastor friend that he grew up in a pastor's home. He's a pastor now, and I can tell you, he is, that left a mark. That left a mark. He talks about that often, about how they would, you know, they would go and they'd have to, you know, listen to his dad preach, you know, every night. The same message he's already heard probably multiple times. And then they had to go eat dinner with the other preacher and family, and they have to sit there at the seat, you know, not say a word, bored to death as the two preachers are talking. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's not a vacation. That's torture. That's horrible. You may be out of balance. You might be out of balance if you have time for social media, but you don't have time for the Lord. Somebody say amen, oh me, right there. You might be out of balance if you are good at making up excuses why you can't do weekly date nights. Be honest, how many of you have weekly date nights? How many of you know you need to have weekly date nights? Yes, all of us know that. But there's always something else that's going to take our time. We're always tired. You know, there's always something going on. We always can make up some excuse. You need to evaluate and realize you're out of balance. You're out of balance if you're not going out. If you're still not dating your spouse, there's something wrong. You need to have a revival in dating and chivalry. You ought to still be loving on your spouse. You ought to still be opening the doors for your wife. You ought to still be doing all those things that you did to win her.
I just wanted to add there, when our children were small, because we had four of them, and busy with the ministry, that we had a time when our church did dinners on Wednesday night. So my husband wouldn't even come home from work. We would just see him at church. But it also provided an opportunity for us when we got home. Everyone was already bathed. There was nothing to clean up. We'd already eaten dinner. We could, I could put the children to bed, and then when he got home from locking up at church, we could have mom and dad time. And they're already asleep. And so that was date night for us for a while. It was just time when the two of us could, you know, talk about the week. You know, even if I wanted to have a special dinner, well, the kids are away and we could have that time together. The next point was, you might be out of balance if you are constantly bringing work home, either physically or mentally bringing work home. And I alluded to it earlier, my first year teaching back in the classroom again, I was getting used to a new system, a new way of doing things, new curriculum, new group of students, everything. And so I was bringing home work every evening, and I would cook dinner quickly, and we would eat, and the kids would clean up, and I would go to work, and I would work until bedtime. And it was necessary for a time, but I realized very quickly my family was beginning to suffer. Everything was staying a mess in my home. I was stressed out. You know, all these things we've been talking about, I could see present in my life. And so I had to start making adjustments to what I was doing so that it could get back in its proper balance.
Very good. You might be out of balance if you care more about pleasing your boss than your spouse. All right, you may be out of balance. Listen, if you're going to kiss up to your boss, you ought to kiss up to your wife. Amen. And the kisses should not be the same either, by the way. So evaluate your life. See if you have a problem. Number two, communicate. Communication is of the utmost vital. You must be able to communicate. Your children ought to be able to communicate. When there is a need, when it comes to time, if your spouse is not having enough time, if they feel that way, you must be able to communicate. You cannot bark back at them and say, "Don't you see all the, I gotta work 50 hours, 60 hours, so I can afford the house you want to live in." Yeah. Don't bark at them. Your children want to play with you, all right? You guys remember the song, Cat in a Silver Spoon? Remember that one, yeah? You remember that one a long time ago when you used to listen to secular music, but you don't now because you're a good Christian? You understand? That's true. Your children want to spend time with you. And can I tell you, they grow up so very fast. And then they want to get their own set of friends. And they want to go play football and baseball with their own friends. They don't want to play with daddy anymore. And so spend that time, especially you young parents, spend that time. But communicate. Communication is vital. We must learn how to communicate for any relationship to work. We must learn to be able to communicate. Mom, dad, husband, and wife must be on the same page, which is going to require talking. And
I saw another search. I don't know if this is true.
It's not you. One source said this, couples spend less than 35 minutes a week talking, communicating. 35 minutes a week. Now stop and think about where you are in your relationship. How much time do you spend talking to each other? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to talk to your spouse about a certain issue, a special issue that has occurred that may frustrate you and irritate you. Ms. Sharon has a great example of this.
So one night when we had those three babies right back to back, one night when they were all small, this one wakes up in the morning and yawns and stretches and says, "Oh, wow, the babies must have slept all night. I slept so well, I didn't hear a thing."
I did.
And I started tearing up because I was trying so hard not to smother him with his pillow. It had been a particularly rough night, but I didn't wake him up and say, "Could you help me a little bit? I've got two crying right now, trying to nurse this one and change this one's diaper." But I was frustrated and I was hurt and I was sleep deprived because I didn't say, "Hey babe, I need a little help. Could you wake up here?"
And she should have, but she is just a sweet, sweet wife, and she did not wake me up. She did not communicate to me that she needed help. Guys, we're not the smartest, you know? I tell my wife this, I don't take hints. How many of you are that way, fellas? You just don't take hints. If you need something, let me know and I will do it. But if you don't tell me, I'm not very bright and I'm not gonna know. And so she should have said, "Hey, babe, I really need some help." And I would have woke up grumpingly. No, I'm just kidding. I would have tried to help. But that's the thing. We must be able to communicate. There's an issue. There's a problem. And can I say this? If they come to you and they say, "There's a problem," you have to guard their heart on that. You have to guard their heart. Don't break their heart. Don't get mad at the truth. We went to a marriage meeting one time. And the preacher, giving his talk, and he said, "Fellas, if you really want to know how you're doing, when you're going home with your wife, ask your wife to rate your marriage from 1 to 10. So I was like, okay. So I went home, we're going home, and I said, I'm thinking 11, And so I'm like, "Hey, babe, remember when he's talking about rating your marriage? What do you think? I don't remember the number. I don't know if you remember. I want to say she said like a 7 or 8. That hurt. Because I'm thinking, a 9, 10, I'm thinking, man, everything's going great. And that hurt. It hurt my feelings. It hurt my pride. And so now I'm like, "What? What are you talking about? I mean, we've got a great family. Look at these kids, and we're working and we're doing all these things and everything is going great." In my mind, in my heart, what I'm thinking through my eyes, everything is going great. I'm providing for my family. I come home to my wife. I love my children. I'm doing all the things that we're supposed to do. You know what I'm talking about, fellas. But there are certain things that women need that men do not. There's certain communications and all those things that she felt like, hey, she wasn't getting. And she was going to be honest with me and say, "Hey, it's not as good. The marriage is not as good on my end as you think it is on yours." And so she was willing to be honest with me and say, "No, we're about a 7. You know what that means? That means I fail. Men do not like to fail. And it crushes your pride. And men are very prideful. And I didn't like that. And so you know what's going to happen if I bark at her and hurt her? She's not going to be honest with me next time. And so I want to know, what is it? What do you mean that we're not a 10? What do you, explain that to me." So we have to be very careful, fellas. We have to be very careful. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just warning you right now. If you ask your wife that question, be prepared. Wives, and you be honest and say, "Where are we?" And then you say, "Hey, where you think we are? And what do we need to do in order to get where you want to go?" So if your spouse shares their heart with you, be careful. Don't break their heart. I want to say this too, when we're talking about communication. If you are trying to communicate, husband and wife, if you're trying to communicate, you feel like things are out of balance and there is a serious problem, and you feel like that He is not listening, I want to tell you, He must listen. I cannot overemphasize this. If there is a serious problem that's going on in your home, in your heart, in your mind, and you're trying to get Him to listen, and He's hard-headed, He's not listening to you, you must get Him to listen. Everybody hear what Brother Donnie just said? You must get Him to listen. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you need to talk to the pastor, if you need to get a counselor. If there is a serious problem going on, you have to communicate. And He must know, or she must know, that there is a serious problem. There's a red flag. There's a red flag if you can go to bed and you put your back up to her back. There's no sexual nothing going on, you know, in days or weeks or whatever it may be, that, and there's no desire at all. Can I tell you, that's a red flag. There's a problem there. There's issues there. If you can drive down the road and you're driving and you're trying to have a communicate with your spouse and your spouse is just kind of staring out the window, there's a problem. That's a red flag. That should throw up a red flag right there. Why is it that we're not communicating? There's something going on that's blocking that relationship, that communication. The lines must be open. And you must grab that man or grab that woman by the side of their face and say, hey, we need to talk. We need to figure out what is going on. I cannot overemphasize this enough. Can I tell you, if you don't talk to your spouse, there'll be somebody else that will. So I cannot overemphasize that enough. So you better make sure you are communicating. You're telling your wife how beautiful she is and how great your husband is, because there'll be somebody else that will. So make sure that we are communicating. Next thing I want to draw is prioritize. Prioritize. Schedule. There's a book that was recommended to me. I'm sure you guys probably have heard it. First Things First. You guys have ever heard of that one? First Things First. Write that down. That's a really good one. First Things First. I want to say his name's Alan. Somebody, if you Google First Things First, it'll be there. And in another book that I'd recommend is Getting Things Done. Getting Things Done. You may want to look at those. Great time scheduling, time management, all those kind of things. What it does, it breaks down to decide what is primary and what's secondary. What are the things that I need to be doing, and what are some things that can be done later? And so I would say schedule. Schedule is extremely important. Schedule what is most important to you. If you don't schedule it, it's not going to get done. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you don't schedule it, it's not going to get done. Something of lesser value will always take your unscheduled time. So you must. Spouses talk 35 minutes a week. But also saw another statistic where it says that people spend 2.5 hours a day on social media. That just blows my mind. I mentioned that to the young people in my Sunday school class on Sunday. And they are all nodding in their head like this. I said, y'all spend 2.5, 3 hours? And they're all doing this. Like it's no big deal. That's crazy. I'm not a big Facebook, Instagram guy. I'm not a big social media guy, But they're like, So we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Schedule time. Spend time on the things that are most important. We can get out of balance in life because we are wasting our life on digital distractions. So if you don't schedule, it's not going to get done. Sarah?
Something that's helped us a lot, and it's very simple, but we have to use it, is whether you're Apple people or not, Google Calendar works just as well, but we have a family section where we're shared. Church events, he puts into our family calendar, so we know not to schedule then. If there are important things going on for the family that he needs to be involved with, I put it in the family section, so we know what's happening. And, ladies, something else I do is I will put on a Friday night, do not schedule anything. This is going to be a date night. So when he's making up his planning for the next month of teen events or whatever, we still have a night that's just for us. Some other things that I put on the weekly family schedule is I set a time for chore check. This time every evening I'm coming around and I'm going to make sure everyone's done what they were supposed to do. And at 9:30 every night, it is snuggle time. That means we have helped the kids with the homework, the kitchen is clean, and it's time for us. Sometimes that means it's a budget meeting. Sometimes that means it's just talking, but either way,
it's just me and Mama.
It's just us.
That's right.
The family is off on their own now, and we're gone for the night.
That's huge. I'm telling you, this. How many of you guys, you have calendars on your phone? You use your calendars? How many of you do that? Good, good. Okay, I know a lot of folks, and maybe they just still write it all in. But man, your phone, man, it can do so much technology. This calendar is a game changer. Whenever you can link and everybody sees what's going on, a game changer. And I want to encourage you, set a certain time at night where it's just you and Mama. It's just y'all, the kids are off to bed. It's just you and her time. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get in your recliner, you're going to kick back, and you're going to turn on the TV. Or she's going to get on her phone and do the whole Instagram thing. And you guys are going to sit there in the quiet and not even talk to one another the whole night. And that can happen. How many of you, whenever you kick back in your chair, you put on Fox News and you're out in like 3 minutes? So, you know, you're done. You know, and about 12 o'clock, you're kind of just crawling into bed, you know. So you really haven't communicated. You haven't really spent time together. It's sad, but it's also where we are. It's wise to schedule that time to grow your relationship with your spouse. Set alarms. I have multiple alarms every day that go off that it reminds me, hey, I need to do this. Boom, 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 boom. Set an alarm. It'll help you greatly to manage your time, prioritize things that are very, very important. I have a watch that it will tell me when I've been sitting too long. Anybody got that? Anybody got like, yeah. Well, whenever it tells you, get up and start doing your little stretches or whatever you need to do, you know? Get up, because a lot of us have those jobs where we gotta sit, we gotta type, you know? We gotta work at our desk, we're in a cubicle or whatever the situation is, and it's not healthy to sit 8 hours a day. And so you have these alarms. Use the technology that we have. Next thing I wanna mention is make your time count. Make your time count. Your boss is going to expect 100% from you, and so does your family. So does your family. Make your time count. It's not all about the quantity of time. I want to say that. It's not about the quantity of time. It's not like saying, hey, okay, I work 40 hours a week, and I don't have enough time for my family, therefore I'm going to get a part-time job. You know, it's not that. It's managing your time and giving quality time whenever you are there with your family. I would come home after a long day of ministry, dealing with people, dealing with things, and dealing with stuff going on at church, and I would come home, and I would have a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 3-year-old. They want to see Daddy. I'm tired. I'll come home, and here comes Mama. She's tired. She's had the kids all day. And, you know, and she would say, Daddy's home. And all the kids would come running. Bah, 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 bah. They'd come, you'd hear her feet running, you know, and boom. And what do they want? They want Daddy to play with them. And I'm tired. And all I want is, I just want to sit down and do nothing. But here's the thing, our kids need us. And so I remember there would be times I would be tired, but I would get down. My kids loved to get on my back and do the horsey thing. Y'all remember that? Loved it. And so I'd get on my hands and knees, and we, all three of them would want to be on my back. All three of them. We'd play all kind of crazy games. I would pick my kids up and throw them down. They loved it. Y'all, not on the ground now. I mean, I'd pick them up and throw them down to the bed. But it was wrestle time. We would have steamroller. We would have all six of us would get on the bed, and we'd have steamroller. And we would say, steamroller on one. And so the first person would roll over all other five people all the way down. Roll over, steamroller on two. And then the next person would roll all the way down. We had incredible, incredible memories. It didn't cost any money. It just cost you time. And you have to prioritize what is important in your life. I love to hunt. I love it. I love to hunt. I love to fish. Can I tell you, I was spending way too much time on my hobby. And you know what I'd say? Babe, but think about all the money we're saving on the meat. That's what I would say. Think about all the money that we're saving, you know? That is a lame excuse. That's a lame excuse. Really, I just wanted to do that. I wanted to spend all my time on my hobby. So make your time count. whenever you have it, because time is so very precious. Play with your kids if you can. We played a game called TikTok, and I would get my kids by the feet. You know, they lay down. I grab them by the feet, and I would do like a pendulum, tick tock, tick tock. Can tell you I can't do that anymore. I can't do that. And I was seeing a little kiddo. We were sitting in, you know, this morning in the session, and there was a little kiddo in a stroller. And I looked back and I thought, my soul, I remember my kids just like that. I remember my wife carrying our kiddos just like that.
They say when your kids are small, the days are long, but the years are short. Yeah. They grow up so fast. And now I'm the shortest person in my house. And it's gone by in a flash. But because my husband was wise enough to do things like that, I made so many mistakes. He made mistakes. But because we tried to prioritize the family, now they're into college. Now they're starting to date, you know, those kinds of things. And they're looking, my girls are looking for people like their father to date. People who will prioritize them and people who love God. God is the only thing they love more than them, you know. I can honestly say, I know the only thing my husband loves more than me and our family is God. And he puts God first, and that helps him to put it in order. And so because of those things, now that, you know, we're sad, the years are gone, but we still have a great relationship with our kids. And, you know, we're praying God that we'll keep them. We've trained them the right way, and we have faith and hope that they will, you know, stay in the Word and keep serving God in their adult years.
Thank you. Thank you. I needed a little time out. Yeah. it goes by quick, and everybody knows that. It goes by super, super fast. So make your memories, take your vacations. It is so much, it's worth it. Whatever you have to sacrifice on the material side of it or the whatever, it's worth spending time because it just goes by so fast. Number four, be flexible. Be flexible in life. You can create your plan, you can set your goals, but life happens, things happen. And you have to be flexible. It's good to have a plan. It's good to have goals and do all those things, but you have to be flexible. There's times that I come in from work and I'm glad to be home from work. I change out of my church clothes and put on my pajamas, and then my pastor calls and says, "Hey, so-and-so is in the hospital. Can you go with me?" Now, when he asks the question, "Can you go with me?" he's not really asking, "Do you want to go with me?" He's saying it, "I'm coming by your house to pick you up." That's what he's saying. And so I have to be, you know, I have to be flexible with that. And my wife has to be flexible with that. And my children, I want them to be flexible and understand, hey, sometimes daddy has to do those things. And I don't want them bitter. I don't want them bitter at ministry. I don't want them thinking, hey, you know, the church and ministry takes my daddy away, that kind of thing. I don't want that. And so it takes a little bit of communicating, and it takes a lot of flexibility. So we all need to have balance. We all need to be flexible with those things. Sometimes we have to work two jobs. Sometimes there is a unforeseen bill. Sometimes there's something that happens that we don't foresee. And sometimes we got to pick up a part-time job or some to work extra or whatever it may be. But so there has to be some flexibility. But can I tell you, you often hear people say, well, the ox is in the ditch, you know, that's why I can't go to church. And sometimes that does happen. That's reality. The ox gets in the ditch. But if your ox is constantly running in the ditch, then it's time to kill the ox. Amen. It's time to kill the ox and eat some hamburgers. So anyway, listen, you can have a plan, but you're not married to a plan. You're married to a person. And so it's good. I'm 100% for it. Spreadsheet guys, raise your hand. Spreadsheets. Yeah, you're a nerd. Yeah. You're a spreadsheet nerd. You're a number nerd. Hey, that is great. That is awesome. But you're not married to your spreadsheet. You're married to your spouse. And you can't be married to those things. So be flexible. It's great to have but sometimes, you know, you also have to understand things happen. Number five, do it together.
So So when our children were small and in car seats, dad would need to go on bus visitation on Saturday. Well, we would all just load up and go with them. We served the Lord as a family, and that gave us family time. We were doing something that lasted, and it also was teaching our children to serve God and joyfully, that it was fun. So we have some great memories. It was hard days sometimes, getting all four children ready and out the door for bus visiting, but great memories, being able to serve God together.
That's what happens. That's why we get out of balance. It's because our wife wants our time, our children want our time, but we have to go do this thing over here. Well, if there's something that we can all do together, if we can all do it together as a family, there's nothing greater that we can do together than ministry. Nothing greater. Take them with you. Can I tell you, whenever we go out on visitation, it'll just be me. Sometimes people would not open the door, but when we brought our cute little blonde-haired kids, they would open the door. Hey, my little kiddos, they would have tracts, and they would go up to any and everybody. Nobody ever turned down a tract from a child. And if they do, they're not human beings. They're just not human. But bring your family along with you. It's not an either or. It's we're all together. We're all this thing together. And so serve the Lord to do ministry together. Also, let me say this. Do life together, do ministry together, but also hurt together. Hurt. Be honest with each other. When there's something going on in your life, when there's an issue, when there's a hurt, share that. We have a policy in our home. There's no secrets in our home. No secrets. If you're hurting, if there's something that I've said or something that somebody else has said that hurts you, there's no secrets. We're going to hurt together. I want to know. I want to know what is going on in your mind. I want to know what's going on in your heart. Everything is out and open. We don't keep anything in, good or bad. So we're gonna hurt together. Sometimes we'll have family meetings and we will say, hey, just want to let you guys know this is going on. We were at a ministry for 15 years and it was time to go. And so we had a family meeting to say, hey, this is what our family was raised in that church. They were born and raised there. That was our time to go. And so we had to have a family meeting. And we wanted to talk and say, hey, this is the situation. And some meetings are all smiles and some meetings are not. Some meetings sometimes are very difficult to have. But I want them to know, hey, we're all in this together. We're all on the same page. And we're going to go through this together. And the Lord's going to help us take control of all of that.
One other note with that, as I mentioned, our kids are in college now and starting to date. Because we've always had this where we share, I'm praying and encouraging and hoping that they'll still share their hurts with us, even in this stage of life. And some of them have already experienced some of these hurts and had things going on, and I'm thankful that they were willing to share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say this too, real quick. When we're talking about doing things together, we can help our children with so many, everything. You've already been through where they're going, right? And so even with budgeting, our kids are at that place where we need to talk to them about college. You know, we have two of them in college, all those kind of things. Do that together. Help them understand all those things. Open up the books. My kids know how much money I make. My kids know, they know everything, what's going on. They know how much money I have in the retirement account. And they know everything. They need to know that. And I want them to understand life takes money. There's responsibilities. And I want to help them with that. Can I tell you, if you have children, if you have young children, you can set them up. You can help them to be successful. But you have to be thinking not just of you. You have to be thinking of them as well. And there is a lot of information. You guys ever heard of Dave Ramsey? Y'all know Dave Ramsey? I know some people love him, some people hate him. That's fine. But there's some good stuff there. I want to encourage you. Help your children succeed in that the financial world and in every part of the world. But do life together, ministry together, hurt together. And then lastly, rejoice together. Rejoice together. One person in your family, the whole family wins. Whenever little Johnny comes and he has his report card, hey, thumbs up, love, rejoice. We're a hugging family. My wife and I will get into our kitchen and, you know, she'll be cooking or whatever, and I'll come home and give her a hug. I can guarantee you it'll be a
seconds.
And they'll see me and her hug. And I have especially one son. He'll come over and he'll say, "Oh, I love you guys." And he'll join in. And then here comes all the other ones, you know. And he likes to be the third wheel. You know, he wants to be the third wheel friend. We're a hugging family. I love that. I want that. I want to communicate to that. That we love one another. We're going to rejoice together. And that's about all I've got. Anything else you want to add to that? I hope, this went a little bit longer than what I intended, but I hope something that has been said has helped you in some way. If you have any questions for me, man, just let me know. I'm here. We'll hang out, whatever. But I hope the very best for you. And take some of these things, put it to heart. There's a couple of those books that I mentioned. If that can be a help to you, grab those. They're not that expensive on Amazon. And but anyways, God bless you. Thank you so much for investing and caring for your family by being here this weekend.